not our guest speaker today. Brenda Bertrand was originally scheduled, and she told me earlier this week that she had a cold, and then when I talked to her on Friday, she barely had a voice. And so in an abundance of caution, after praying about it, we decided to reschedule her for next week. And so you stuck with me today. And I'll actually be sharing the message that I had planned on sharing next Sunday. So we're going to take the Lord's Prayer a little bit out of order than it appears in your Bible. And I hope you'll indulge us and be patient with us. And hopefully Brenda will be well enough to be with us next week and to share the message that she prepared. Many of you know that I first became a Christian when I was in my first year of college at Mount San Antonio Community College. And after I came to faith in Christ, I was really excited to tell my grandmother, Laura. My grandmother had been a Christian for many, many years, and I was excited for us to have something in common for us to talk about. And so she was one of the first people I told. And after that, I remember a time when we were talking about a health concern that she had, and I suggested that we pray about it together, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Oh, I don't want to burden God with my little problems. He has far too many problems in the world to worry about." You know, and she said that, and I suspect that she's not alone. My grandmother, who was a godly, devoted follower of Jesus until she passed away at 80 years old several years ago, had a hard time bringing her needs to God in prayer. And sometimes I think we do as well. And during this season of Lent, we've been in this series called Teach Us to Pray, where we've been looking at the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Last Sunday, when we started this series, we saw that Jesus gave us this prayer as both a practice, a prayer to pray, and a pattern, a model, a template. And that this prayer starts with God. It doesn't start with us. It starts with God as Jesus invites us into his own prayer life, as we learn to approach God the way he did, with intimacy and with reverence as our Father in heaven. Today we're going to talk about our needs in prayer, our needs. Because if there's anything I've learned after more than 25 years of ministry, it's that everybody has needs. We may not always show them. They may not always be visible. We may not always talk about them. We may not even realize at times what our needs are. But all of us have them. And today I want to assure you that God invites you to bring your needs to him in prayer, both great and small, big and small. In fact, God delights when we bring our needs to him in prayer. And so today we're going to talk about the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And the background for this part of the Lord's Prayer is actually found in the Old Testament. You may know the story. Before entering into the promised land, God's people in the Old Testament wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that 40 years, it was a time of testing and a time of refining. And that's a picture for us of the Christian life. For us today on earth, it's like a wilderness, a time of testing and refining. And during Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, each day God would miraculously provide them with bread from heaven for them to eat. In fact, they called this bread manna, which is Hebrew for "what is this stuff?" because they had never seen it before. And this manna was a kind of bread that would appear each morning. It was like dew on the ground, but it was edible and like bread. And during the 40 years, God would provide just enough manna to sustain their hunger for that day. On Fridays, he would provide enough for 2 days so they wouldn't have to gather manna on the Sabbath on Saturday. In fact, if the people tried to do a Costco run on manna, the remaining manna that they gathered would rot the next day. Manna was their daily bread. And God's people learned during that 40 years that God could be trusted to provide them with their daily bread. And over time, that phrase daily bread came to represent God's provision for all of our needs, not just our need for food, but all of the needs that we have in life are our daily bread. And so when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're asking God for our daily allotment of what we need in life to be faithful to Him and for our needs to be met. Praying for our daily bread is asking God to meet our needs. Asking God to meet the needs that we have. And I think this reminder is especially important for us today, especially in light of all the news about the coronavirus epidemic, and we should be wise and, you know, and wash our hands and do all those things. But when the police have to be called to a local Costco because they ran out of certain supplies, I think we need to be reminded that God can be trusted to provide for our daily bread, our needs. 80 years ago, there was a theology professor at the University of Heidelberg in Germany named Helmut Thielicke. And as a committed follower of Jesus Christ, Thielicke, during World War II, spoke out against Hitler and the Nazis' attempt to take over the Christian churches in Germany. And as a result, the government removed Professor Thielicke from his teaching post at the university. They banned his writings, and they ordered him not to teach publicly. Thielicke was relocated by the Gestapo to the town of Ravensburg. And until the end of the war, he was kept under constant surveillance and questioned multiple times. And with nothing else to do in Ravensburg, during the last few years of World War II, Thielicke became the pastor of a small church in Ravensburg. It was a tiny congregation, mostly women and elderly men and children. In fact, at his first Bible study he had after becoming pastor, three people showed up, all of them over 80. And through the years, as I've read Thielicke's sermons, during the last few years of World War II, I found them to be incredibly insightful and challenging as he preached during a time of chaos and uncertainty for his congregation. In fact, at one point, he was preaching through the Lord's Prayer, just as I'm preaching through the Lord's Prayer now. And a couple of days before he got to this third petition, "Give us today our daily bread," in his sermon series, carpet bombing destroyed the church building this congregation met in. And so that Sunday, they met in the rubble and ruins of what had once been their place of worship and had been for many, many years. And listen to what Thielicke said to that congregation. "God be thanked that we can talk to Him the way we feel and come to Him just as we are. We can cast all of our cares upon Him, all of them, not just the great ones, but the small ones as well." Thielicke was making the same point I'm making today, that Jesus is inviting us to bring all of our needs to God in prayer. Now, what happens when we do that? And I want to spend the remainder of my time giving you four reasons from four different parts of the Bible about what happens when we bring our needs to God in prayer. Four reasons. The first one, I want to start with the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 29. Hear these words of Jesus. "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." In these words, Jesus is contrasting the way people of His world and our world live their lives, obsessed and chasing after meeting their own needs. devoting their lives to making money and to storing up resources and building houses and making investments. But the more we have, the more we have to lose in life. Jesus reminds us that we don't have to live that way, obsessed with meeting our own needs, because God knows exactly what we need. God is not ignorant of our needs. He's not distracted by people with needs that are bigger than our own needs, like my grandmother thought for many years. God knows what we need even before we ask Him for what we need. Why do we bring those things to God in prayer then? Well, this is the first reason. When we bring those needs to God in prayer, we admit that we are not self-sufficient. We're admitting that we are not self-sufficient, that our lives are fully dependent upon God. And that's a hard thing for us to admit. We like to act like we're in control of our lives. We meticulously construct an illusion of security, lulling ourselves into a delusion that our lives are untouchable. We plan months, even years in advance, believing that we're the captains of our own fate, the masters of our own destiny. And we enjoy that illusion because it makes us feel safe. It makes us feel secure. But it's just an illusion. And like any illusion, it doesn't take much to shatter it. A pink slip at work. A worldwide epidemic. A biopsy that comes back positive, a divorce. And we suddenly realize how vulnerable our lives truly are. When we pray this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread, we are reminding ourselves again and again and again that we are not self-sufficient. This is the way of Jesus. When we bring our needs to Him in prayer, we admit that our lives are dependent on Him, that we can't handle things that are on our own. Prayer becomes a reality check for us. This prayer becomes like an intervention that breaks through our addiction to think that we can handle things on our own, that our lives are self-sufficient. And this is the first reason to bring our needs to God in prayer. For the second reason, I want to turn to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. You know, from the very beginning, both Christians and Jewish people have learned how to pray by praying the Psalms in the Bible. In fact, in the early church, after teaching brand new Christians the Lord's Prayer, the next thing they would teach them is to begin praying the Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of 150 different prayers and songs that are found in the Old Testament part of the Bible. And I just want to read as an example Psalm 55, verses 1 and 2. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I'm troubled by my complaint. I am distraught. These verses are typical of the Psalms, where the writer here cries out to God in their distress, asking God to respond to their need, whatever that need is. The psalmist asks God not to ignore their prayer, not because there's any possibility that God would ignore the prayer, but because that's how he feels in the moment. You see, the Psalms are a model of raw emotional honesty. An honesty that isn't always theologically precise, but that truly reflects how we feel when we have deep needs and we bring those needs to God. From the Psalms, this example from Psalm 55 and others, we find a second reason to bring our needs to God in prayer. When we bring our needs to God in prayer, we open our hearts to God. We open our hearts to God. You see, even as Christians, even if you've been a Christian a long time, we can at times build a wall between what we feel and what we believe to be true. And often we're afraid that God would be shocked by what we feel in our hearts, feelings of vengeance or fear or doubt or anger that simmer within the inner reaches of our hearts. And so we hide our hearts from God, pretending that we feel what we believe, when beneath the surface that simply is not the case. But when we bring our needs to God in prayer, it opens all that stuff in our hearts up to God for Him to sort out. When we pray about our needs, it can be like a dam that bursts, and this torrent of jumbled feelings and thoughts and emotions go flooding into the presence of God. We can't censor or control that flood as it comes gushing out of our hearts, and suddenly we're exposed in the presence of God, the real me, the real you, and it can be unnerving, frightening to be that way in God's presence, and that is exactly where God wants us to be. When Professor Tielecki was standing in the ruins of that church building 80 years ago, he said, "We really do not need to pretend to be anything what we are when we pray. We do not need to put a show of being above the little or the big things in our lives. God wouldn't believe it anyway. God is not shocked by what's inside your heart. God is not horrified by what's deep inside the depths of your soul. But as we open that part of ourselves to God, by bringing our needs to God in prayer, God gently and transformingly meets us in that space. This is why many of the Psalms shock us with their cries for vengeance or their brutal transparency. They're an invitation to bring our needs to God in prayer. Because when we do, we open our hearts to God. Now let's consider the words of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Familiar words, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We have plenty to be anxious about in our world today. You know, as a parent, I thought when my kids hit their 20s, I'd stop worrying about them. I worry about them even more the older they get. I worry about my 22-year-old each time he climbs a rock that's outside of my comfort zone. I worried about my second son when he was deployed with the Navy in a war zone in the Persian Gulf for 9 months. I worry about the people I care about. I worry about the organizations I believe in. And I'm guessing you do as well. Worry is a natural response. It's a human response. But worry doesn't hold any promise to meeting our needs. In fact, often it only paralyzes us as we obsess over the what-ifs that might happen. And so instead of tormenting ourselves with worry and anxious thoughts, Paul urges us to pray, to bring the things that we're worrying about, our needs, to God in prayer. And we're promised that as we bring those things to God in prayer, that God's peace will guard our hearts in our minds. Like an armed sentry posted on the perimeter, God's peace will protect us from obsessing over all the what-ifs that fill us when we worry. God doesn't give us a kind of peace that can only exist on a snow-capped mountain or on the beaches of Maui. He gives us the kind of peace that can exist even amid uncertainty, even in the midst of chaos. This is a peace that goes beyond what we can see or what we can imagine. It transcends our understanding because it's the peace of God. And you can see what the third reason is now to bring our needs to Him, that when we bring all of our needs to God in prayer, we experience God's peace. That's a third reason. We experience his peace. Now, undoubtedly, this is a process and not a one-time thing. 12 years ago, I went through 13 months of unemployment, as many of you know, where I was working many part-time jobs. I worked for UPS. I was a substitute middle school teacher. I was an adjunct professor at 3 different universities. And during that time, I was hemorrhaging, living out of my retirement account. And during that year, I had many, many, many sleepless nights where I was consumed with worry and over the what-ifs about my needs and the needs of my kids. And again, I would bring those needs to God in prayer. And God's peace would post a sentry around my heart, guarding it for a little while. But soon I was tossing and turning again. It's a process. Recurrent worry is usually a sign that we need to bring our concerns, our needs back to God in prayer once again. Worry is like a warning light on a car that I'm overheating or it's time to change the oil, that we're trying to guard our hearts and our minds on our own, and worry keeps breaching the perimeter and getting into our hearts and minds. Worry should trigger us to automatically once again turn to God in prayer to seek his intervention in our needs, no matter how big or how small those needs may appear. Finally, one more passage to consider. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Once again, the words of Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Here Jesus invites us to persevere when we're bringing our needs to God in prayer. In fact, verse 7 is in the present tense in the Greek. It could be translated, keep on asking and it will be given. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. In other words, God responds to those who persevere in prayer, because prayer is a relationship. It's not a Christmas list. It's a relationship of talking, of persevering. And Jesus here gives us insight into how God the Father views our requests when we bring them to him. Jesus assumes that most people who have kids at least want to be good parents. And he asks, which of us who are parents would give our sons or daughters something dangerous or bad for them if they asked for something good? No father worthy of the name father would trick his son when he was hungry and give him a rock instead of a loaf of bread. No father worthy of the name father would drop a deadly rattlesnake into his daughter's lap when she asked for a fish to eat. Like a good father, God gives good gifts to his children. And he gives good gifts in the context of prayer. Now, what this text doesn't directly deal with is what happens when a child asks for a snake or asks for a stone or asks for something that the father knows is bad for them. And I think that we can infer from this that when we ask for things that God knows would not be good for us, God responds to those requests by giving us things that will be good for us instead of what we asked him for. How many parents have had kids ask them for things that aren't good for them? I have a whole list of requests I've gotten through the years. And the answer is, I love you too much to give you what you're asking for. Let me find a good gift to give you. This is the last reason to bring our needs to God in prayer that we'll talk about today. When we bring our needs to God in prayer, we look for God to meet our needs in His way. For God to meet that need that we bring to Him in His way. Because God meets our needs in all kinds of different ways, and often the way He meets that need is in a way that we never imagined and that we didn't even ask for. We ask God to heal us of a disease, and then a doctor prescribes a treatment that manages our symptoms. Did God answer that prayer? Absolutely. We ask God to meet a financial need, and He gives us an opportunity to change jobs. We ask God to give us a spouse, and instead He gives us the grace to live a fruitful, content life as a single person. You see, often we don't even know what our need is. And often what we ask God for isn't the deeper need. And God delights to give good gifts to His children. And so when we bring our needs to God, we actually open our eyes to see how God might be meeting that need in ways that we least expect it. That's what we pray. And we pray, give us today our daily bread. We admit that we're not self-sufficient. We open the depths of our hearts to God. We experience God's peace, and we look for God to meet our needs in sometimes unexpected ways. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, thank You for these words of Jesus and these words of Scripture. And Lord, I can't help but believe that there's a reason why I'm preaching this message this week instead of next week. And so, Father, as we are quiet in Your presence, I want to invite each of you. What's stirring in your heart? What needs, great or small, are stirring inside of you today? What's bringing you worry? What's bringing you stress? What's causing you to toss and turn at night? I invite you to take that. Release it to a Father who loves you. Give it to Him. Let Him take it. I pray, Lord, in this situation, give me today Your daily provision for me, my daily bread. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You that You hear every prayer. You respond to every need. We trust that You are wise and good and loving. We pray these things in Christ's name.